gracious Father in heaven, we bless our holy name, O Lord. For thou art truly worthy of praise. Thou art truly worthy of praise, O Lord. Worthy is thy name, O Lord. We thank you, Lord, for the faithfulness, your faithfulness to your word. And because for the sake of Jesus Christ, your only begotten Son, Father, you blessed us. You give us the grace, you give us the mercy. And this moment now, Father, as we come to you in thy word, Lord, I ask that your spirit, your presence be here and open up the heart and the spirit, Lord, and let our spirit also launch out unto you to get a touch from you, Father, to have a revelation from you, to have a revelation of God. We ask that you bless our Father in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. My title this morning on this message, maybe take today, tomorrow, and next week, just two parts. Collision. Offended with omnipotent. Collision with God. Offended with God. Now we are going to look at several cases, and sometimes we say we know. Now on Friday I said, well, maybe I used quite the wrong expression. You know, in every era of teaching or doctrine, there is also some truth in that. And sometimes because of human interpretation of the word, of what truth is, there is error is added in. So when we look into the word of God, not that the word of God is error, it's because we look at it, we don't see it right. And we will not perceive the in-depth expression that God intended when he wrote the book. So, we're going to look into some examples. We're going to take three examples today of men, servants of God, are well-known saints in the Bible, how that they got offended with God. Now, just one verse first. Let's go to Jonah chapter 4, verse 4. Jonah chapter 4, verse 4. Then said the Lord, doest thou well to be angry? Jonah, doest thou well to be angry? Now, how many of you, as a Christian all these many years, or these few years, whatever you are, how many of you have been offended with God? Let me see your hand. Only a few. So the rest of you are not offended with God in your lifetime. I have been offended with God many times. We get frustrated with God, you collide with God because of your own thinking, of your expectations, your things. Huh? All the characters shown in the Bible, you see that they have collision with God. They were offended with God. Because we are human. We have certain expectation. Even Christ's disciple. What did Christ say to the disciple? In Matthew 26:31, all you shall be offended because of me this night. Remember, he was in the Garden of Gethsemane? He told them, all you will be offended because of me this night. Well, every one of them, their disciples, every one of them were offended with Christ. That's when God smite him and he scattered all of them. Huh? God smite the shepherd and scattered the sheep. When they came to arrest Christ, Peter was so far off. You know, I will not deny you, even the rest deny you, I will not. And Jesus told him, before the cock crowed twice,
you will deny me three times.
Ah, no, Lord, I won't. Because, you know, he had a great expectation. And when the God came for Jesus, he cut off the ear, all right. But then next moment, what happened? They all ran away. That's what Abraham, the statement, I always remember, the simple statement. Now is testing time by sin. Peter was so sure. Huh? Cut off the ear, he committed a sin. He didn't keep his vow. There was a testing time for him, he ran. And when people did look at him, hey, you are one of them. No, 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 I'm not one of them. You mistook me. There are a lot of people who look like me, but it's not me. Another time. Yeah. Your voice. You know, they can sense that he was a Galilean because of his accent. No, 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 no. When the cock crowed, he realized. It broke his heart. And he went and found a place for repentance. And he found it. So if you've never been offended with God, but you would be. Many times we were slapped on the face by our expectation that didn't come what we expected. So we were slapped by God with, you know, unexpectedly. One thing for sure, I tell you one. The closer you get to the Lord Jesus Christ, I can guarantee you, the closer you get to Him, you know what will happen to you? Because you expect more of Him. And when you get what we wanted, we become offended. You know, in the past, in this fellowship, you see, my responsibility is to preach the word of God, to feed you, to guide you, to help you understand. But the choice is yours to how you want to live your life. And all in the past, I hear people say, oh, but again, you know, your preaching style changes. I don't quite like it. So my preaching style change offends you? I don't know how many things I have changed my style of preaching. But what? Huh?
He has improved.
But, you know, if I were in the Philippines for a convention, like when I was 10 years in Butuan, or in India, or in Africa. Yes. I want to get these people to see. I try to emphasize certain point very loudly and firmly. Yeah. So perhaps now I don't bang and don't shout too much. Maybe I don't like your style now. You know. Does that offend you because of change? Oh, the church did not move according to your expectation. That offends you? Because some of you people have this mentality. They come to a church, they expect the church to have some kind of a movement, a kind of a, you know, they already figure in their head what the church should be like, what they should do, how the brother and the sister should behave. So if it doesn't happen the way they expected it, they get offended. Huh? I mean, there are some that come to the church and they see, And then later on they told my daughter, Rebecca, how come the sister in the church have a short hair? So what is that going to do with me? Are you telling me that I didn't preach about what the Bible said about keeping long hair? What do you blame it on me? You come to the church, you're finding, oh, because you're long hair, other people don't have, you find fault. You get offended because you didn't come to the expectation. You want to see that, oh, you don't you know there are some people that are young, they came into the church. Oh, you are still a sister wearing miniskirt. Are you sure there is a sister, or is it just some new person coming into the church and sit down and learn the gospel? And I said this one thing about it. Our life in this earth, we have only one life. It's how you live this life that lay the footprints for others to follow. Do you understand what I'm saying? Huh? Don't be an offense to others by your behavior. And then when I, you know, often remind everyone needed to come to church early, be on time. It offends you. The other brother, one brother came up to me and said, you keep on saying this every Sunday. And the people don't like it. I said, really? I said, you're the one that don't like it. Because you come late. You see, that's why we try to, you know, whenever there's something you don't like to hear, it offends you, you try to put a wall before you. Or give an excuse. Hey, you know what? God is watching. You leave the church after service, you go home, whatever you do in the weekdays, God is watching. I said one thing, don't come to church and put on a show. I remember when I was in the exams of God, that's what many people does, what many of them did, you know, go to church. Well, we had outside the church a different story altogether. Huh. People, that's what they're saying, say we a sin on Sunday, sinners on weekdays. Yep. And then there are many. I've just written now a few just for you to understand. Many have notions of what to expect from God and believers. And when the unexpected things happen, they were offended with the Lord. They stopped. They won't want to come to church. In the past, I know, but I can't speak so hard, I don't like it. Don't come to church. Well, you know what? If I speak hard, if it's from the Word of God, that's true. Why are you offended? So you have a collision with God, offended with omnipotent? Yeah, sometimes a lot of people shout. But be careful of your self-righteousness. Jonah, chapter 1. We'll look at this case of Jonah. Ah, man, we all know about Jonah, don't we? Okay, how much do you know about Jonah? 4, chapter 8. And can someone read chapter 1 onwards? You want to read, Brother Luke? Okay, go ahead. Stand up and read it. Loud and clear.
Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, arise, go to Nineveh, the great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness is come up before me. But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, and went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare thereof, and went down into it, to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. But the Lord sent out a great wind in this, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, So the ship was like to be broken. Then the mariners were afraid and cried every man unto his God and cast forth the wares that were in the ship into the sea to lighten it of them. But Jonah was gone down into the side of the ship, and he lay and was fast asleep. So the shipmaster came to him and said unto him, What meanest thou, O sleeper? Arise, call upon thy God, if so be that God will think upon us, that we perish not. And they said, Everyone to his fellow, come, and let us cast lots, that we may know for whose cause this evil is upon us. So they cast lots, and the lot fell upon Jonah. And they said there unto him, Tell us, we pray thee, for whose cause this evil is upon us? What is thine occupation, and whence comest thou? What is thy country, and of what people art thou? And he said unto them, I am a Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, which has made the sea and the dry land. There were the men exceedingly afraid, and said unto him, Why hast thou done this? For the men knew that he fled from the presence of the Lord, because he had told them. Then said they unto him, What shall we do unto thee, that the sea may be calm unto us? For the sea was wrought, and it was tempestuous. And he said unto them, Take me up, and cast me forth unto the sea. So shall the sea be calm unto you. For I know for that for my sake this great tempest is upon you. Nevertheless, the men rode hard to bring him to the land, but they could not, for the sea rocked and was tempest against them. Wherefore they cried unto the Lord and said, We beseech thee, O Lord, we beseech thee, let us not perish for this man's life, and lay not upon us innocent blood. For thou, O Lord, hast done as it pleased thee. So they took up Jonah and cast him forth into the sea, and the sea ceased from raging. Then the men feared the Lord exceedingly, and offered a sacrifice unto the Lord, and made vows. Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and 3 nights.
Alright, this is chapter 1. Here we get this guy, Jonah, a very well known name, a very famous name, and anything disaster, you call somebody, he's Jonah. Right. Now here we have this man of God. Hey, he's a man of God. A prophet of God. And God told him, I want you to go to Nineveh. You know what the place is? The city is? It's in Assyria. Today you will be in Iraq. Alright. But the moment when God told him, Jonah, go. Go and prophesy to this city of Nineveh, because if they don't repent, I'm going to destroy that city. Oh, Job decided not to go there. Jonah decided not to go there. So took a ship that heads towards Spain, Tarshish. Oh, that's about, roughly about 3,000 kilometers or so on the western side. Instead of going east, to Nineveh, he just wanted to get away from it, just refused to hearken to the voice again to obey God. What was on his mind? So he took a ship and he went. And while the ship was sailing on the Great Sea, on the Mediterranean Sea, towards Turkey, God brought a storm. And even as he said later on, he says, for my sake that this thing happened. Because God wanted to deal with it. So many times when you have a rough life, and God did something because something is happening, and God, you think that, God is failing, and you get to offend with God. But that is for your sake, God is dealing with you. Heart. So the ship sail over there. When the storm arises, every marine now, every sailor, everyone that's on board the ship, they start to pray to their gods. I don't know what kind of nation, how many foreigners are different types of people were there. Right? The Persian may be there, the Greek may be there, the Filipino may be there too. All we know. And everybody is praying to their God. And here was Jonah going down to the deck in some way and sleep. And fast asleep in the storm. My, he was very comfortable with the ship rolling and rocking. And he was just so comfortable. Alright, so now the shipmaster wakes him up and says, come on now, you pray to your God so that we might not perish. So everyone is praying to their God. And so now, nothing seemed to work. Because God is dealing. God wanted to expose that the storm I brought upon the sea here right now was because of this man, my servant. So they cast lots, they draw lots. I don't know, the bunch of sticks maybe, like what we do today, maybe, I don't know how they cast on those days. And out comes the name of Jonah. And well, Jonah's the old man, Jonah's, you know, my name is Pink. And they ask him, you look at how they ask him. He said, tell us, we pray you, verse 8, for whose cause this evil is upon us? They know that there is always a problem. Somebody, not right, when you're in the sea, people are lost superstition in those days. Some bring bad luck. Oh no, oh no wonder you named Jonah. That's what thing happened. Okay, tell us for what reason it is. What is your occupation? I'm a prophet of God. What? And you run away from God. And then you ask him, and when comest thou? What is thy country? And of what people art thou? And Jonah spoke the truth out here. He says, I'm a Hebrew. I'm a prophet of God. I fear God, the God of heaven, the one who made the sea, the one who made the land. Oh. Alright. So now, these men were afraid. Because of thought, he's a prophet. I want you to know that. They know you don't touch a man of God. Especially when they hear the name Yahweh. I'm a prophet of Yahweh. Do you know, as I said this many times in those, even the ancient day, there are a lot of religions, and yet a lot of people recognize that the God of Israel is powerful. Now, just like my brother-in-law, you know, who is not a Christian, who worship, well, you know, idols. Anyone can say, you know, your Jesus Christ is above all. And then, what are you worshiping all these idols? And that is strange, isn't it? Well, that's how it is. So, and the men were afraid. They knew that Jonah was fleeing away from the presence of the Lord. And then, well, they asked him, what shall we do unto thee, that the sea may be calm? Jonah said, well, throw me out of this boat. You know, you tell the people, show me out of this boat. My goodness, they know that this guy is a man of God. Who want to touch him and throw him out? You know what I mean? And that's what they didn't. So they tried to roll they control the boat, but it doesn't help. So finally, they pray to Yahweh even. In verse 14, they cry to Yahweh and said, we beseech you, O Yahweh. We beseech thee, let us not perish for this man's life. It's your servant. Okay, let us not perish because he disobeyed you, whatever how they pray. This is just a condensation form. Let not upon us innocent blood, for thou, O Yahweh, hast done as it pleased thee. So they took up Jonah and threw him overboard. And the sea was calm, and God brought about a big fish, a whale, and swallowed Jonah. And Jonah was in the hell belly of the whale for 3 days and 3 nights. And then the next chapter, of course, there was a prayer of deliverance. But let us go over to chapter 3. Alright, Brother Henry, will you read chapter 3?
All of chapter 3?
Yes.
Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah the second time, saying, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and preach to him the message that I tell you. So Jonah arose and went to Nineveh, according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceedingly great city, a 3-day journey in extent. And Jonah began to enter the city on the first day he walked. Then he cried out and said, Yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown. So the people of Nineveh blamed God, proclaimed a fast, and put on sackcloth, from the greatest to the least of them. Then word came to the king of Nineveh, and he arose from his throne and lay aside his robe, covered himself with sackcloth, and sat in ashes. And he caused it to be proclaimed and published throughout Nineveh by the decree of the king and his nobles, saying, Let neither man nor beast, herd nor flock, taste anything. Do not let them eat or drink water. But let man and beast be covered with sackcloth and cry mightily to God. Yes, let everyone turn from his evil way and from the violence that is in his hands. Who can tell if God will turn and relent and turn away from his fierce anger, so that we may not perish? Then God saw their works, that they turned from their evil way. And God relented from the disaster that he had said he would bring upon them, and he did not do
it. Yeah, so, well, you know, the whale, Jonah being in the belly of the whale for 3 days, well, you know, and I think the whale had a hard time. I think he got stomachache. Because the taste, Jonah tastes bad. So finally, you know, he threw him out of the mouth and onto the shore. And then Jonah went to Nineveh. Now, Nineveh is a big city. It takes 3 days to walk from, you know, around the city. Just spend 3 days walking throughout the whole city. Now, that's very big. Now, maybe it's half the size of the island of Singapore if he would walk 3 days. Every part. Now, as he walked, Jonah began to preach. Now, here, of course, you just have in verse 4. Yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overturned, right? This is not just simply he got the people. 40 days later, yet 40, another 40 days, within 40 days, the city of Nineveh will go. The people say, what are you talking about? Obviously, it's not like that. He's preaching. You understand? Warning them about their sin, the thing that was going on there, apparently. Until people began to pay attention to hearing and look at themselves. Now look at Hollywood. You know, the city, the area of Hollywood there, you know, a lot of things that's going on. Los Angeles itself, the city, a lot of things that's going on. Even New York City. So just imagine Nineveh was just bad. So he went preaching and preaching, and then when the people heard it, they said, oh, we better do right before God. Because they too heard about the God of Israel. They know it. And this man here that's preaching is not just a commoner. He speaks with authority. So they hearken to the voice of Jonah, and they start to fast and pray. And even the king did the same, and command the whole of his kingdom not to eat, just to fast, not to drink even. And then God saw that they repent. I don't know how many they passed. And God decided not to destroy the city. And apparently he told Jonah, look, the people repented. I'm not going to destroy the city. Okay, next chapter, we see what happened here. In the next chapter, but it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he was very angry. And he prayed unto the Lord and said, I pray thee, O Lord, was not this my saying when I was yet in my country? Therefore I fled before thee unto Tarshish, for I knew that you are a gracious God and merciful and slow to anger and of great kindness and repented thee of evil. Jonah said to the Lord, Didn't I tell you? I knew it. That's why when you tell me to go preach, I know you are gracious, you will not judge everyone, God. Do what you said you will do. That's why I ran away to touch him. You know, and that's the behavior. But what made Jonah behave the way he behaved? Huh? You know, now he was a prophet, remember? Just think about, I mean, you got to put yourself in the shoe of Jonah to see why he behaved the way he did. Jonah, I'm a prophet. Go into Nineveh and preach and warn them that God is going to destroy because it's a thus saith the Lord. But it didn't happen. My goodness, I'm Malu. I'm a false prophet. They look at me as a false prophet because, Lord, you didn't destroy as you said you would. You see the point out here? Jonah had the wrong desire. Let us look into one verse here. Verse 3. Therefore now, O Lord, take, I beseech thee, my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live, because I am now quit. My status and occupation as a prophet is kaput. Huh? Finished. Because I prophesied that here's what he's going to do, but you didn't do it. So they look at me and what? Go to the book of Acts 21 to 23. Acts 22. And can somebody read? Acts 22, 21 to 23.
Then he said to me, depart, for I will send you far from here to the Gentiles. And they listened to him until this word, and then they raised their voices and said, away with such a fellow from the earth, for he is not fit to live. Then as he cried out, they tore off their clothes and threw dust into the air.
Right. See, you see this is Paul. Give me an account of what happened. And Stephen was stoned to death. Huh? And Paul was saying that God told him that he would send me unto the Gentiles. But this religious leader, when they heard what he said, they lift up their voice and said, away with such a fellow from the earth, for it is not fit that he should live. And they start to cry and curse their God. And you know, you ever see people in the Middle East, among the Islamic extremists, and when someone died and they just cry and moan, like, you know what I mean? And these are really actually like what they did. They're just particularly mad. Furious to hear that you, as Paul, a Jew, a Hebrew, and you telling me that, telling us that God sent you to the Gentiles? Pui! You know what I'm saying? Huh? And that's exactly what Jonah, go back to Jonah. That's exactly what Jonah feels. Going to the Gentiles. You got to be kidding me, Lord. You got to be kidding. We are your chosen people. Did you choose Abraham? Didn't you promise him a seed? That a great nation will come out of that seed? And we are that people. And outside of this tribe of Israel, the nation of Israel, are dogs. And they are unclean. Huh? So you see what happened? Verse 4. Chapter 4, Jonah. Then the Lord said to him, do thou well to be angry? Could Jonah say, take me, take my life. I'd rather die. Do well to be angry. So Jonah went out of the city Now, 40 days has not yet passed. Jonah went out of the city on the east side of the city and then made him a booth and sat under it in the shadow till he might see what would become of the city. So he sat down there maybe a few more days left to see what is you going to do? What are you going to do, Lord? What are you going to do? I'm going to watch. What are you going to do? So he made himself a booth. On a little hill to help him with the city, and he took some branches or bent some branches together, tied it up so he could have some shade. Alright, God humored him a little bit. And verse 6, and God prepared a gourd and make it to come up over Jonah, that it might be a shadow upon his head to deliver him from his grief. So Jonah was exceedingly glad of the gourd. Now Jonah was already very upset, very, very offended with God. He was talking, okay, I will see what you're going to do, that sort of thing, you know what I mean? So he put his wood, bring some branches together, and God made a gourd. It's from what I search in the Hebrew, this word here is most of them, what do you call them? Believed to be the castor oil plant, which has quite big leaves. So God caused this to grow to have those big leaves cover him from the sun. It just grew up very fast one day. And of course, was happy. He was happy. At least he got shade for his, I don't know whether he's bored or not, I don't know. Give his head, from the sun. Alright. But God prepared a worm when the morning rose the next day and he smoked the gourd and he withered. Oh, God is playing. I think God has sometimes a little fun with his prophet. And next morning when the sun comes up, God sent a worm. I don't know what kind of worm, must be pretty big, that eat into the roots and the stem, where the sap is. So the tree began to wither. One day you got shade, next morning day there's more shade. And it came to pass when the sun did arise that God prepared a behemoth east wind. And the sun beat upon the head of Jonah and he fainted and wished himself to die and said, it is better for me to die than to live. So now God sent a very strong, hot east wind. Now the Bible, whenever you read the Bible, east wind, it doesn't mean it comes from the east. It's actually a word that represents judgment. Okay, east wind. Okay, it has, of course, pointing to east where a desert, but actually it's from the Arabic side. Okay, where there is this hot air that comes. Okay, and it's a hot wind air that beat down upon Jonah. And God said, and Jonah said, it's better for me to die than to live. God said to Jonah, do thou well to be angry for the gourd? And he said, I do well to be angry even unto death. You give me a shit, and now the worm hit it out with no shit. I'm angry, yes, I want to die. When a person gets very upset with God, and he doesn't stop, he continues to get upset with God all the time. It will never end if you don't want to break the chain. Right? Oh yeah, I'm so upset. I want to die. Let me die. I do want to be angry. Then said the Lord, thou hast had pity on the gourd for which thou hast not labored, neither make it grow which came up in the night and perished in the night. And should not I spare Nineveh, the great city, wherein are more than 60,000 persons, 120,000 people in that city, that cannot discern between right hand and their left, and also much cattle. Now you took pity, Jonah, for this gourd. Huh? Because you're no more shape. And you're upset. Yet you took pity on this. You wish that you had this plant over your head, right? What about these people out there? in Nineveh. They are human. They are people. Now, we need to see when we look at this. Jonah was very angry with God. He was very enraged, actually. For what reason? That we already see in the book of Acts 22:21-23. All because why? It's the wrong and desire. Because, you know, he was a Hebrew, he was of Israel. He was God's servant. But he think that God only are with Israel. Will always have grace for Israel, mercy for Israel, but not for the other nations of people. And that's why it's a Hebrew mentality that the Gentiles are not adults, not worth it. Yeah, sometime, you know, I want you to think for a moment. Better time, we are all quite judgmental too. For example, we see some pagan worshippers around, right? And the way they dress, the way they behave, it's kind of hideous. And we find repulsive, yes, because some pagan worship is really bad. And in our mind, we have a lot of thoughts about that thing. But what if the Lord tell you, go and talk to that man? Would you? Or talk to the woman? Would you? Or will you think, oops, that's a hopeless person. He won't come to the gospel. Or then you make up your mind for him or for her. And that's why we get offended with God many times, just like Jonah did. Let's go to another case. David. King David. Oh, okay. King David. Let's go to 2 Samuel chapter 6, verse 1 to 15. Here was a good case. David, well, you know, he was a man after God's own heart. Samuel 6:1, David gathered together all the chosen men of Israel, 30,000. David arose, went with all the people that were with him, from Baal of Judah, to bring up from tents the ark of God, whose name is called by the name of the Lord, or Yahweh of hosts, that dwelleth between the cherubims. Actually, there's no S. Cherubim is a plural already in that sense. That translation in King James. And they set the ark of God upon a new cart, and brought it out of the house of Abinadab, that was in Gibeah, and Uzzah and Achol, the sons of Abinadab, drove the new cart. And they brought it out of the house of Abinadab, which was at Gibeah, accompanying the ark of God, and Achol went before the ark. And David and all the house of Israel played before the Lord on all manner of instruments, make of fir wood, even on harps, and on psalteries, and on timbrels, and on cornets, and on cymbals. And when they came to Nakhon, threshing floor, Uzzah put forth his hand to the ark of God, and took hold of it, for the oxen shook it. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against Uzzah, and God smote him there for his error. And there he died by the ark of God. And David was displeased. David was angry because the Lord had made a breach upon Uzzah. And David called the name of that place Perez Uzzah. To this day, this means breaking forth against Uzzah. Oh, you know, David was had the desire to bring the ark back to Jerusalem. It was in Gibeah, in the house of Amminadab. So he built a new car. He can use the old one. But remember one thing. David was not a priest. And he was just doing what he thinks best. And many times we do the same, right? We want to do what is best for the Lord. This is the way to do it. This is the way to do it. And that's why some people in our fellowship have this idea. Over the past year, where people have contributed their ideas, and sometimes you give a suggestion. And some of the suggestions are really way off. But the brother sees the thing, and it's good. Because you see, everybody has ideas. And so David has the idea. Put it on your card and bring it to Jerusalem. But on the way, the oxen shook. And the ark was about to topple. And Uzzah put his hand out to steady the ark. The moment he touched it, it goes smoking. And David was angry. He was angry. And he called that place Perez. Uzzah. God break forth, God burst forth against Uzzah. Wow. What goes on in the mind of King David? Probably, if I am the Lord God, I wouldn't have done this. The man was doing his job. He doesn't want the ark to topple. Well, what a... Here we have, David got offended with the Lord. Verse 9, David was afraid of the Lord that day and said, how shall the ark of the Lord come to me? So David would not remove the ark of the Lord unto him into the city of David. But David carried it aside into the house of Obed-Edom, the Gittite. Ah, here is salt. He was afraid of the Lord. He was also angry with God. Now he saw. How is that going to come to me? And he would not even remove it. He just saw. Well, let's bring it someplace. Never. Read it and see how you. You know, sometimes when you get upset, you don't want to do it. Right? You're so fed up with God, just leave it alone. I mean, many times I did that. I'm so frustrated with the problem that just leave it away. I don't want to do it. Right? I just remember an instance of what happened in Nigeria. The many churches that I preached to, they know the truth, and here I come around, they started to break up to follow the lead apostles. What happened? And Brother Nye is coming up, remember? I told you. But you can do something. I said, do what? I have already done my job. Write something. You know that time you are so frustrated. Just leave everything alone. Not going to solve it. Well, the house was in Obed-Edom in verse 11. The house of the Lord continued in the house of Obed-Edom, the Gittite, 3 months. And the Lord blessed Obed-Edom and all his household. 3 months in that home. And God blessed the family there. And the news leaks out to David. And it was told King David, saying, the Lord hath blessed the house of Obed-Edom and all that pertain unto him because of the ark of God. So David went and brought up the ark of the Lord from the house of Obed-Edom into the city of David with gladness. Now, 3 months, it took him so long for David to cool down. Yeah, sometimes people take a long time to cool down. Yes. Because you know, that ark is precious. Whenever the ark sits, that would be a blessing. And that's why David wanted that ark to be in Jerusalem. But because of what happened, Uzziah, he was so upset with God, that he said, I'll leave it nearby, whatever is near whose home. And he went to Obed-Edom, and God blessed him this 3 months. Now, what God did, that what he did with Jonah, he did with David, by blessing Obed-Edom. You're really cool down. Okay, I want to out back in Jerusalem. But this time, he did his job properly. And in verse, next verse, 13. And it was so, that when they that bear the ark of the Lord, who is there that bear the ark? Their ark should never be put on a cart and push. You don't put it on a lorry, you don't put it in a car to convey it. It has to be carried. Why? What is the significant and type and the shadow of carrying it? What is the Ark of the Covenant? There are three things in the Ark of the Covenant. What are the three things? Come on. The first thing is the two tablets of stone, the law. What else? The rod of Aaron that budded. The next one? The pot of manna. What do they represent? The law, the word of God. The law of God is perfect. The pot of manna is the food that sustains. The rod that bud shows the life. Right? And the Ark of the Covenant is where God's Shekinah glory is. And it is God's promise, God's word. It has to be carried. It has to be carried by you. Because you are a holy priesthood. Remember? Huh? The word of God must be carried in your life. Don't just carry this word, the Bible, and go to church. I'm carrying the word. No. God wants you to carry the word in your heart. In your life. Do you see? And so, David danced before the Lord with all his might. And David was girded with a linen rifle. So David and all the house of Israel brought up the ark of the Lord with shouting and with the sound of trumpet. So let us realize that all our very best spiritual exercises or what we endeavor to do for God, the thing that we think is the best may not be what it is for the Lord. Our best exercise, our best desire for doing what we should do before the Lord may not be what is good enough for God. Alright? So don't get angry with God. Whenever you do want to do something for the Lord and the Lord doesn't like it. So learn from this. Alright. So now, David, of course, was ignorant. In the case of Jonah, it was a wrong desire. It's a Hebrew mentality, so to speak. The awe of God is all for us, not for the others. And in this case of David, it is David's ignorance that caused the life of Uzziah. You got it? I mean, he should inquire from the priest. I guess he didn't. He says a new cart would do. And so men carrying it, put on a new cart and bring it to Jerusalem. So let us now look at God you know, with our human, with the eyes of our human ignorance, our kind of perspective, so to speak, but rather to a heart that is holy and reverence before God. So when God began to deal with it, David, it illuminates him. It brings light to him to understand. And the same thing when we do something out of ignorance and God doesn't like it, of course, because God is dealing with us like he dealt with King David. So that we could learn from that lesson, as David did. Okay? And he'll make us a healthier person. And not one who goes through life sulking. You know, I feel for the brothers and sisters who, through life, have a lot of collision with God, and get upset with God. Now let me say this, that the first time when I got this herpes on me, when I went to La Paz, Bolivia, okay, I don't know how many, I think it's 12,000 or 11,000 meters high. And it was, maybe not, so I'm sorry, that's twice as high as Denver. Denver is called Mile High City. Okay? It's twice as high as Denver. So, when I was there, I didn't know what was going on and that it could affect the body. I went up there and, in the night, the first night itself, I mean, it's hard to breathe. When I lie down to sleep for 2-3 hours, I was shaken up from my sleep with a big headache. And I got up, I had to hold, because if I move my head like this, it seems that the yolk inside my head is being knocked around and it hurts real bad. So I got up and went to the bathroom, turned on the hot water shower, just to, you know, and the air was dry as well, just to steam it out and see what happened. It didn't help. I came up to the bed on my table. Unfortunately, I have this Panadol that was there. So I took it to ease the pain. I went to bed, trying to sleep as much as I can. I got up early in the morning with the sun rise at 6 a.m. to go and find a pharmacy for this headache. And that's when the pharmacy told me, Sorochi, Sorochi. And I couldn't understand what that was. Spanish word for mountain sickness. And it was there, and I know what it was. That's all right. After spending 2 weeks there, I came back home. A month later, oh my. Sitting now, watching the news on the television, says, what happened to my lips? There's some kind of warm, it started to burn. Then I could feel that it's swelling. It just come out like that. And I went to the mirror and looked, what's wrong with my lips? It's red. You know, and the next morning, it's got bigger, more puffier, blisters start to form, and it hurts like mad on the whole lips. And I was, sister, you know what that is? I don't know. I thought it's just a phenomenon, they come and go, okay. After a week of pain, the blister breaks up, you know, it's so messy. And what happened? It dries up. Okay. And I said, what on earth is this? 2 weeks later, under strength, it comes back. Oh, my. And it gets worse as it comes. And I have to go on Google and follow what's on the internet that could help. And in the end, Jesus said to me, go to this site. He's a doctor. He will always answer anybody's question. So I said, okay. So I typed a letter to this, an email to this doctor, and told him what I was experiencing. He gave me a reply. He said, go to another, he referred me to another website. He doesn't want to tell me what it was. Kind of strange. I went on the next website, the link that he gave to me, and I couldn't believe what I read. Herpes simplex, mainly contracted by sexual affair. He says, what? That's why he doesn't want to tell me. I told him I went to the past, you know, he thought that, well, you know, I was there going womanizing or something. And then I read further down, down, down. He said, in America, 1 in 12 or 1 in 10 gets it. How they get it? To kissing. Children, 1 out of 12 they have it are children. How did they get it? The parent who had it kissed them. And it's transmitted. And it's a virus. And the conclusion, there's no cure for this. He says, Lord, what have I done? Offended God? Yes. I had a struggle with him. I said, what have I done to resolve this? And I went further to check. They said that people get it when they go up to the mountain and they are from the lowland, they go up to the mountain and the body is weak. There is hardly oxygen there. The body is not built for that. And I don't remember where you know. Those people who live up there in the mountain like Bolivia, they went and take, they play a soccer match with Argentina, I believe, or Chile. Full beating wins the soccer game. The one who lives up in the mountain, they came down, they win. Why? Because they are so used to the high altitude of less oxygen, they came down, they got their oxygen on the lowland. And the stamina was good. And if you ask those on the lowland to go up there in Bolivia to play the soccer, they'll faint. And I said, Lord, what have I done? And I don't know what to do. It was after 3 attacks that the Lord, I prayed, said, Lord, doing something, or else I cannot travel. Because in one instance, when I traveled to Sri Lanka for the convention, on the plane, it blows up. Mine. So I said, Lord, I cannot travel like this. How do you expect me to go? And when I prayed, then I said, Lord, show me. Then the time when the thing blows up, I went to the internet, I forgot how much of the drug should I take. And it's a very expensive drug. That doesn't heal, it controls the pain, it suppresses the symptom as much as it can. It's almost 200 Singapore dollars for one course. So I forgot how much I just typed. Herpes. And Google gave me a list. And the top of the list was this. Never an outbreak. So when I went to that website, the man himself was telling his life story. He says, I was a fornicator. I loved sex. And I got herpes. And there was no cure. But I work in the lab. And I know what could cure it. Oxygen. In fact, the website just, that thing was, had a big word oxygen on the link. When I saw the word oxygen, I knew that that's the answer. And so I told my son when he was working in America then, he was coming home. He said, buy this oxygen for me. It's pure oxygen, liquid oxygen. And he came back, already have the herpes, almost ready to break up the blister. So I had to use a cotton, soak in the hydrogen peroxide, scrub the very bloody, I can tell you that. I don't remember whether Zoe saw it or not. Zoe saw it. I was rubbing it, you know, scrape the skin came off. And I think Jimmy saw that on video because I went to church, nobody knows it because I always clean myself up. So bloody. And then I put the pure oxygen spray on it. I'll be jumping. You know how it burns. And it kills them once and for all. So I was offended with God, sure. Upset with him, yup. Not happy with him, yup. Nobody wants to suffer. Being a servant of God, yup. See? Let's come to the last case. John the Baptist. Alright? John the Baptist in the book of Luke, chapter 7, verse 18 and 19. You know to John the Baptist when he was in prison. What happened? Okay. Read these two verses. Luke 7, chapter 7, verse 18 and 19.
Then the disciples of John reported to him concerning all these things. And John, calling two of his disciples to him, sent them to Jesus, saying, Are you the coming one, or do we look for another?
Right. John was in prison. After then, Jesus had ministering the word more and more. Now go to another portion, Matthew 11, verse 2 to 6. Matthew 11, verse 2 to 6.
And when John had heard in prison about the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples and said to him, Are you the coming one, or do we look for another? Jesus answered and said to them, Go and tell John the things which you hear and see. The blind see and the lame walk. The lepers are clean, cleansed, and the deaf hear. The dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. And blessed is he who is not offended because of me.
Now you know, John was arrested, was in prison now, and his disciples were out there, saw the work of Jesus Christ, and reported to him. Then John, the citizen, two of his disciples, going to ask Jesus Christ, Are you the one, or do we look for another? Kind of strange. Did not John proclaim him as the Messiah? Yes or no? Huh? Did he not have this revelation from God that he was the one and no other? Then why did he doubt? But when looking on your superficial, yeah, it looked like he doubted. But there's something beyond, not just doubting. John was not doubting on this. You know? After all this has been shown to him, been told to him by the disciple. Sending the two disciples to Jesus, Jesus said, Tell John, the lame received the sight. I mean, the blind received the sight. The lame walk. The lepers are cleansed. The deaf heard, hear. The dead are raised up. And the poor have the gospel preached to them. And blessed is he who soever shall not be offended in me. What did Jesus Christ add that last line? Interesting. He was telling the disciple of John to tell John this. And blessed is he who is not offended in me. Okay. Now we heard what Jesus said, and the disciple told John, it's about, you know, Jesus said to tell you the blind see and the lame walk and so on and so forth. But is that all of it? Because John proclaimed him the Messiah. He's the one that was prophesied of that would come and set up the kingdom and so on. Now, when John the Baptist was in prison, hearing this from the disciple, his disciple, what goes through his mind? Perhaps he was thinking, oh, okay. But he's a compassionate a savior, it's, you know, a good healer. He's an effective savior, you know. But it's not all of it. Why was John offended? Because Jesus even told his supper, the whole thing, blessed are he who's not offended with me. But why was John offended? Why was he offended? The Bible did not say John was offended, but why did Jesus say this word? Because John was offended. For that reason, why he sent those two disciples to us. Are you the one or we look for another? There's more to it on the surface. Jesus did not say it at all, because Jesus did not fulfill everything yet. Let's go to the book of Isaiah 61. Isaiah chapter 61. And someone, Brother Luke, can you stand up and read it? And I will stop you to emphasize certain phrase, okay?
Isaiah chapter 61. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has granted me preach good tidings unto me. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound.
Okay, watch this. To proclaim liberty to the captives. The opening of the prison door to those that are bound. Did this happen? John the Baptist, he was a prophet. He knew the Old Testament. He knew all that was prophesied of about the Messiah. Right? So he displays in his mind. Beside this whole chapter, there are other verses of scripture, other prophets that prophesied of Christ. Okay, read the next verse.
Proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn.
Hey, did that happen? The day of vengeance of our Lord? Did that happen? The children of Israel, they were looking for the Messiah to come and take over and have a kingdom for them. They were under the oppressions of the Romans. So, John was going to Jesus Christ. Yeah, you go around healing the sick, opening blind eyes, pick the lame to walk. Oh, okay, but you the one? It cannot be. Because what about all these things? And that's why Jesus sent the word to John. Whosoever, you know, blessed is he, whosoever shall not be offended in me. Because you know, here, John was impatient. He wanted to see everything done quickly. Hey, how many of us are like that? We want instant answer, right? No, God is not an ATM machine. You ask, you request a prayer, you say, Lord, I want this, I want that. Psst, it comes out. And sometimes the ATM machine don't work, you know. Also, right? Not because God doesn't work, God just waiting for you. See whether you are patient. Well, so next one, next verse.
To appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified.
Yeah, all this verse themselves did not come to pass. Even the last part, they're special, that they might be called the tree of righteousness. They will not yet declare the planting of the Lord, that they may be glorified. Not yet come, but the kingdom of Israel will come, and it will be glory, you know, of the nation. Round about. Alright, next.
And they shall build the old wastes, they shall raise up the former desolations, and they shall repair the waste cities, the desolations of many generations. And strangers shall stand and feed your flocks, and the sons of the alien shall be your ploughmen and your wine vessels. But ye shall be named the priests of the Lord, men shall call you the ministers of our God, ye shall eat the riches of the Gentiles, and in their glory ye shall boast yourself.
Yeah, God, look, you shall be named the priests of the Lord. It didn't happen. You shall eat the riches of the Gentiles. Mm-hmm. They were not. And their glory shall you boast yourself. Didn't happen. That's still in the future. Huh? Okay, next.
For your shame ye shall have the double, for confusion they have rejoiced in their portion. Therefore in their land they shall possess the double, everlasting joy shall be unto them. For I, the Lord, love judgment, I hate robbery for burnt offering, and I will direct their work in truth, and I will make an everlasting covenant with them. And their seed shall be known among Gentiles, and their offspring among people, all that see them shall acknowledge them. They that are seated, the Lord have blessed. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God. For he clothed me with the garments of salvation. He had covered me with the robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom decked himself with ornaments, and as a bride adorned herself with her jewels. For as the earth bringeth forth a bud, and as the garden causeth things that are sown in it to spring forth, so the Lord God will cause righteousness and praise to spring forth before the nations.
Yes, last part here. Clearly so had not even come past yet. Malachi chapter 3, verse 22. This is what John the Baptist knew about, because he knew Malachi's prophecy very well. Right? Okay, see what he says in Malachi. Alright, Brother Heavy. Malachi 3, verse 1 and 2.
Behold, I send my messenger, and he will prepare the way for me. And the Lord, whom you seek, will suddenly come to his temple. Even the messenger of the covenant, in whom you delight. Behold, he is coming, says the Lord of hosts. But who can endure the day of his coming? And who can stand when he appears? For he is like a refiner's fire, and like launderer's soap.
Ah. Well, you know, Dwight John was in prison, all he heard the news, but he didn't see this fulfilled. You know. He was a messenger that prepared the way of the Lord. And the messenger of the covenant, which is God himself. Huh? That come into his temple, which was the body of Christ Jesus. Yep, he declared him, John the Baptist. But when he comes, the Bible says in this second verse, for he is like a refiner's fire and like a fuller's soap. He come in judgment and cleanse everything. It didn't happen. That's why Israel have a problem. Even to today, they were blinded because they could not see the two coming of Christ. The first coming, then the second. And by reason that they are on the earth, they looked at, they couldn't. What? They couldn't see the first one. Because the second one, which was more glorious than the first one, to them, they could see. But they couldn't see this one. They went beyond the first coming, the first peak, and they looked at the highest peak up there. Because when Christ returned, it will be a glorious day for not only just Israel, but the whole earth. Is that right? You see, John the Baptist, he was impatient. And his understanding of Christ, his concept, he didn't expect that Jesus, the one whom he proclaimed, to do everything that he expected. So the unexpected thing that he didn't expect blow in his face. Is that all? Let me read a quote to you. I like this man. He's a Canadian missionary to Japan. He died in 2001. You know what? I have a couple of his books and I went on the internet to Google and I found some of his book. Oh, they're worth a fortune. Like it is, because it's out of print, I guess. $45, $50 for a small little book. Which was back then, I could get it for $1, $2. There are certain people, certain men that God used, they are not well known, like Billy Graham or Roberts. But they have good insight into the Bible. And this is one of the quotes that I liked what he said. He said, blessed is that man whose faith, conviction, optimism, and dogmaticism does not get the larger and more important than God Himself. Let me read it. Blessed is that man whose faith, the conviction, optimism, and dogmatism does not get larger and more important than God Himself. And I guess this is what John the Baptist was. His concept of God, of what he expected of Jesus, did not go his way. And he was offended. What about King Saul? We know about King Saul. In closing, King Saul was impatient, right? Yeah. But what then? Not just that he was offended with Samuel. He was waiting, remember, for sacrifice. Waiting. Samuel didn't come, so. But he was afraid because he was going to war with the Philistine. And they always offer sacrifice to God before they went to war. So, Samuel didn't turn up. Come on, he's late. Okay, he sacrificed. He was impatient. And he was rebuked, right? But did he learn? No. When he was told to slaughter not just everyone of those Philistines, but also the cattle and even the king, what did he do? He kept the best cattle, best sheep and everything, right? And did not even kill and cut off the head of King Agag. See, he never knew. And that's why Samuel told him, the Lord, because you have rejected the word of God, God has rejected you from being king. John the Baptist, impatient, he learned. Right? And who is the other guy? King David. Yes. Ignorant. But he learned. We are offended with God. Are we learning? Are we according to shout with the Lord? So for King David, well, whatever spiritual exercise he taught best, that did not warrant him to be angry. Shouldn't warrant him to be angry. Whenever we expect of God something that didn't come to pass, doesn't warrant us to get upset with God and get angry with God. In this life of ours that we live, we have our ups and our downs. Amen? Yes. I'm frustrated with my hobbies. Well, I know to be patient. Now I'm suffering from this cough that seems to be very chronic now. For years. And now it seems to be more irritating to me. I'm still waiting for the Lord. I get to talk with God many times, you know. And He knows I'm frustrated with all this problem. And what about the cares of the churches out there? The money that we sent to this brother over in Congo did not get through. But they called the bank and found out what happened. Because they tell me one story from there over that side from Congo. And what about the situation over in the Philippines that they have problems? In India? In Africa? Brother God, please help us. We don't have a place to worship. Our church was broken down. We fellowship under the tree. But when it rains, we don't have a place. Help us repair it, Brother God. Yes. time and time again, oh, we human are feeling frustrated because things do not go the way we wanted. But one thing for sure, blessed are those who is not offended with me. Because God is still working and working in our life. Our life is not a bed of roses. Many are the thorns on the way that we journey on in this pilgrimage. Huh? To the city that is found on Mount Zion. But you know what? Patience builds us up to be better believers. And don't ever think whatever we do for God is bigger than the heart of God. Just look at His holiness, look at His heart. Because there is a reason behind this, which is far better than this kind of mind, this human mind can fathom. Yes? And I pray the Lord bless you. Heavenly Father, thank you for thy grace, O Lord. Thank you for this tree that we have learned. They teach us not to have wrong desire like Jonah. He should have the desire for those who are not even the people of God to have mercy and grace. But Lord, you have dealt with him, and the way you dealt with him just through the God plan. You give him one day, and next day he was eaten up by a worm, and he felt sorry for it, and he got angry, and he wrote to him, Lord, make him think of your grace, of your mercy, for those that were created in the image of God. And then we look, Father, at Jonah, and we look at David, rather. For his ignorance, Lord, in the desire to have the ark brought back to Jerusalem. Because he loves you. But Lord, he wasn't even thinking right. He was ignorant of the way that the ark should be born. Instead, by the Levite, he had to put it on a new cart. He thought you would please thee, of course. But many of us too, Lord, the thing we do, we think many times the work we do for you, it will please you. But if we do not do according to what you specified, what is written in thy word, just as King David did, instead of having Levite born, carry the ark, Lord, he had this ark carried. But Lord, David was a man after your own heart, because truly, Lord, he learned. Though he was offended and he sowed, but he learned. And lastly, Lord, we ought to do the same in this last character of John the Baptist. Impatient, wanting things to go fast, to get things done quickly and expected of you to do, Lord. But we learn from the word that they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. So we're not to hurry you, Father, as much as we desire a quick work in our life, a quick answer to our prayer. But Lord, you want us to be patient. And in due time, you bring all to pass in a way that it should be done. And we thank you, Father. Help us, Lord, to be still and know that you are God, and to do as you desire us to do, and to look at your big heart, Father, of holiness upon your word that is upon your people, that we walk according to the will of the living God. So Father, bless now, Lord, bless all that is spoken, and may you take it further and break it, Father, to all those to hear. We ask this in Jesus' name.